Welcome to our church's transformative journey through the New Testament by embarking on a year-long voyage that will enlighten, inspire, and deepen our faith. Join us as we dive into one section at a time, exploring the New Testament's teaching and wisdom. Through this collective endeavor, we will grow closer as a community, drawing strength and guidance from the powerful words of the New Testament. Together, let's embrace this incredible opportunity to enrich our spiritual lives and to walk hand in hand through the sacred pages of the New Testament. Have you had a time in your life when you were lost something that you tore up the entire house searching for? Being me, I lose a lot of things. I put an object down and walk off, and then 3 minutes later, I could not remember where I put it. My wife would tell me to trace my steps. Sometimes it could be my coffee cup, but other times, as I leave, it may be my keys. How quickly I needed the item would depend on how my mind could slow down enough to focus on where I placed that object. When hyper-focused on something else, I tend not to notice things that could be right in front of my face, my keys. The National Institute of Health defines hyper-focus as a phenomenon that reflects one's complete absorption in a task to the point where a person appears to ignore or tune out everything else completely. As a musician, I can easily be hyper-focused on a song or become distracted by an idea I heard or read or a life event that I saw on the news. As we turn to Luke 24, we find two disciples of Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus. From the previous chapter, a lot had happened before this walk. Jesus was crucified and laid into a tomb. Jesus began slowly appearing to his followers, so the word of Jesus' resurrection had not been made public. So these two men discussed the very events of Jesus' death and burial. Unbeknownst to them, Jesus sneaks into the group and started talking with them. As a reader of God's word, we know how the story goes, so we can become perplexed about how these men did not know it was Jesus. At first, I could speculate that the last time they saw Jesus was when he had been severely beaten and crucified on a cross. His body would have been pretty difficult to look at. They had not seen the resurrected Jesus as they thought they have. So we could give them the benefit of the doubt that if it were Jesus to them, and they thought it was Jesus they were talking to, they may assume that at least his body would look pretty beaten up. But then it gets interesting. At this point, Jesus starts kind of playing around with them, like an episode for Undercover Boss. You know the show where the CEO of a large company puts on a disguise and becomes a staff worker, doing a labor-intensive task, trying to fit it in as one of the workers. I can see all the workers taking their breaks and talking about the major events of the day when this random guy says, "What is the conversation you are having? And what is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" Then one of the guys says to Jesus, "Were you born under a rock? Do you know the things that have happened here in these days?" Jesus continues to lead them on by asking, "What things?" They answer, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all people. And our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hope that he was the one to redeem Israel. Some women of our company went to the tomb and found it empty. And they saw visions of angels who said he was alive. Some of us went to the tomb and found, as they said it was, but they did not see it." At this point, the undercover boss starts to break character and begins to rebuke the disciples by saying, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" He then began explaining all the scripture concerning Christ, starting with Moses. You would think after that, Jesus said those words and has a deep biblical interpretation session, someone in the group would think, "Is this Jesus?" The words and tone he uses sound familiar. In fact, I think he might have said that a few times before in another way. But the disciples still did not recognize him. However, they did like his company. So as they were pulling off for the night in a small village, they invited their new friend to stay with them. During the evening, as they broke bread and Jesus began to bless the bread, their eyes were open and they recognized him. Immediately, Jesus vanished from their sight. Disciples then had that, you know, aha moment, or the moment you walk across a dark room and your bare feet stumbles on a pile of Legos. I have small children, so yes, ouch. They said, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened up the scripture? So what are some of the parallels between Moses and Jesus that Jesus may have mentioned? Well, he could have mentioned Moses and the law. Jesus is the foreshadow and the law given to Moses, representing the fulfillment of God's promise. The sacrificial system and the Mosaic law points to Jesus as the ultimate sacrifice for sin. He could have mentioned prophetic visions, various prophecies in the books of Moses, such as Genesis and Deuteronomy, hint at the coming of a future Messiah. Moses prophesied about a prophet like him, whom the people should listen to. And then there's the wilderness experience. Israel's journey through the wilderness mirrors the human journey with God, finding ultimate fulfillment in Jesus, leading us not to an earthly promised land, but a heavenly eternal kingdom. And we cannot forget the law and grace. Jesus, as seen in the New Testament, fulfilled the law given by Moses and introduced a new covenant based upon grace. It is striking that no matter what Jesus taught or spoke to them on the road, they did not know he was talking with them. We all can become hyper-focused on anything, and we cannot see the forest for the tree. A good example I saw was that it would be like someone's needing to paint a house in one day, but spending half the day picking out the right color. These disciples did not see Jesus because they were still searching for their earthly king, not their heavenly king. And when Jesus died, they said we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They had missed the forest for the tree. They saw Jesus' death as an end to their promise and redemption. Today, Jesus may be speaking to you about a certain situation you find yourself in. We can become so hyper-focused on one thing that we miss that God is working on all things together. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." Jesus is walking with us by the Spirit, which lives in us now. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." These disciples were wrestling with Jesus being gone and their hope being dashed, but their hope was restored once Jesus revealed himself to them. They proclaimed that by telling their story in Jerusalem with the other disciples. So after a few moments of retracing my steps, I eventually found what I wanted. I would find a better strategy for not losing or misplacing my stuff, but habits are hard to break. Thankfully, I had a good helper who helped me find what I have been looking for, my wife. In reality, the true helper, the Holy Spirit, is always there leading and guiding us. We sometimes need to retrace our steps through the scriptures, be still, and know he is working all things for good. For our hope has been restored, and we know that Jesus has conquered sin and death. As we can conclude today's podcast, remember our monthly memory verse by saying it together. Our memory verse is found in Acts 4:12. It says, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no one other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Let's say it again. "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that is found in Acts 4:12. We'll hope this message was encouraging for you, and hope you have a blessed day. As we conclude this episode, remember that every chapter holds immense significance and power. Let's carry this journey beyond these moments and into our lives, allowing the teachings to shape our thoughts, actions, and relationships. May the wisdom we've uncovered guide us daily, fostering compassion, understanding, and love within our hearts and community. Thank you for joining us on this incredible venture through the New Testament. Let's continue to read, reflect, and grow together, allowing the transformative power of these sacred scriptures to illuminate our paths.